Seems like God's people are the same everywhere I go. Very hospitable, friendly. I'd like to express some thoughts that the Lord has been talking to me about. And I think of the scripture that says, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark." And I think that that could be said of all of us this morning. What I have to talk about by the help of the Lord this morning is something that the Lord has put His finger on in my own life and given me as a great challenge. And I keep it before me every day. And the Lord has greatly helped me with it. And I'd like to leave this little burden here with you all if you would pray for me. I'd like to write something on the board. Written on the board, "For we ourselves also," and that is a partial quote from a verse in Titus, the third chapter, so maybe we could turn to them, to that today. Titus was a young pastor whom Paul left in Crete to minister to a congregation there, and he was giving him instruction, different scenarios and things that he was instructing him about. And you can read in the first chapter of Titus about some of the issues there. But then Paul gave Titus a caution. Maybe we'll just go ahead and start the first verse. Talking to Titus here about the people, how to help and instruct the people. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's quite a list, isn't it? Do any of us really want to think of ourselves as having done those kind of things in the past? We have. Sometimes I hear people talking maybe to someone or about someone. And while they're talking, I think in my mind, "You must think you're perfect, or you must think you've always been perfect. Otherwise, you'd be embarrassed to say the kind of things that you're saying." Sometimes we can have a problem, and maybe we get the problem all fixed in our life, and then it's real easy to forget that we ever had it. Now we're ready to go help someone else with the problem, and we tend to kind of elevate ourselves and look down our nose and, "Oh, why are you dealing with that?" Let's keep reading here. "For we ourselves also," I'll read this verse again, "were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." I would venture to guess that just about all of us have been at one time guilty at just about every item on this list in some form or fashion, because the nature of man is inherently sinful. And when it is, all kinds of things crop up in the heart. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Thank the Lord, not by works of righteousness which we have done. He's reiterating here. It says, gentle, be gentle and show meekness unto all men. Because not only were we that way, but when the Lord saved us and washed us, it wasn't because of anything that we ourselves had on hand. We didn't have anything that we brought to the table and say, Lord, you owe me salvation. You owe me eternal life. I'm good enough to live in your heaven now. So you might as well come and I'm going to join the holy club here. It didn't have anything to do with that. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So I'm going to write something, I'm going to add something to the board, and as we go along here, we're going to add several things here. So maybe I'll add a little punctuation mark here. For we ourselves also... I'm going to put afar off, because that's what we were. We'll add more later, Lord willing. The scripture says in Acts, I believe it's 17, we won't turn there, but it says that this promise, Paul was talking on Mars Hill in Athens, and he was saying that the promise of salvation is to you, to your children, and to all those who are afar off. That means you and me. You know, all that are afar off, when we think of that, we think of somebody that has horrible addictions, maybe, or somebody that's committed a crime, or something like that. You know what Scripture says about a proud person? It says he knoweth the proud afar off. Sometimes it seems like I notice somebody will be praying for somebody. Okay, I can think of at least one example that they we prayed for. For a long time, and I remember requesting prayer for somebody when I was growing up, and their companion would put in prayer requests for them, and we would pray and pray, Lord, please save this individual. Well, one day they got saved. And I mean, it was years and years. Oh, everybody's thanking God. And I remember before this individual was saved, everybody was just outreaching to them, and they would come to church. Well, it's so good to see you here. You know what I'm talking about. It's so good to see you here. Thank the Lord, and how have you been, and everything. And then they got saved, okay? You know what happened? And I'm not saying everybody did this, but I noticed a tendency in myself and in others to all of a sudden start measuring them up. Why'd they say that? That was just uncalled for. Sometimes we think we know exactly where someone ought to be. We have a tendency. You know, every one of us, every single one of us is on a journey to heaven. When we get saved, we embark on a journey that lasts the rest of our life. And I'll say something else. Every one of us has things inside of us that, uncorrected, will lead us astray. I'm not talking this morning about excusing sin and preaching, you know, this is all relative. Everything's relative. Come as you are. We can all worship the Lord together. What I'm talking about is that the Scripture teaches us to be gentle and to show all meekness unto all men, because we ourselves also. I'm going to write something else. We ourselves also are a work in progress. And that applies to every one of us here. You know, I got saved when I was in high school. And I was just as saved then as I am now. And I was just as saved as anyone in here. But you know, I've looked back and I'm amazed. At the difference in me between then and now. You know, I'm not done yet. And I think, I look back and I think, well, how could I even do it? How was I even saved? And I remember some of the things I would say and some of the things that I would think and some of the actions. And then the Lord would come along and He would put His finger on it. What does the Scripture say about the Messiah when in Isaiah 40, we won't turn there, but it says He will lead His flock like a shepherd. You know what the difference is between the dealings of the Lord and the accusations of the devil? The devil is harsh and he's accusing and he's vague. The Lord is very specific and He'll put His finger on this and we'll know exactly what it is. Unless we're too busy to take the time to listen, and then we're responsible for what the Lord wanted to tell us. But the Lord is a shepherd, and He leads us. The Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of what? A servant. Why would the Bible call Jesus a servant? Because He came to help you and I to have access to the Father, to provide a way for us to see God, to give us an intimate connection. And it says, "Let this mind be in you." I think about when we deal with other people, interpersonal relationships are some of the most difficult challenges, at least for me. I'm an introvert, very much so. I'm not really what you would call a social person. But sometimes we can look at other people and we can say, well, they've got this. I've been guilty of this. Say, you know, I just don't think they're balanced here. They're just not balanced. We're not either. Every one of us have areas. And this is just real simple this morning. I just want us to get a hold of something that the Scripture wants us to show all meekness, because we ourselves also are a work in progress. We were afar off. Sometimes people really are wrong. And we have to, 1 Thessalonians, let's turn there and get a couple verses there. 5 and 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Lord, help me here. Lord, help us all here. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which was good, both among yourselves and to all men." So it says to be patient unto all men, but at the very same time it says to warn them that are unruly. So we see that life, the Christian life, and the service of God is not always about just being easy and giving everybody a pass, both in our minds and in our words, and just patting everybody on the back and say, "You're doing fine, brother." There are things and duties that the Scripture lays upon us, but you know, those things would be by far best done under divine inspiration. The Lord gave me this to share with you, brother, And I'm praying for you, and I love you, but I feel like I want to warn you about this. There's a place for that. You know that some people are feeble-minded? You know that some people can't maybe follow the same thought pattern that you can? You know that some people might not be there. Some people might not be at the same level in this area that you are. That's okay. They might be a level you're not at in another area. I remember thinking of one person, and I looked down on them. Looked down on them for, because it seemed like they just couldn't. Oh, I thought, you know, they just don't ever have any kind of a depth to their experience and everything. I want to tell you something. That person taught me about faith. That person taught me about just believing in God, where I had to rationalize everything out. I learned some lessons from that person. We're going to run into people like that in our lifetime. Now I want to go to Luke 6 and 37. I'm sorry, I want to get a scripture before that in 2 Timothy 2 and 24. When the Lord first called me to preach, a minister was dealing with me, and he was giving me advice. And he looked at me, and he said, well, let me read the scripture, and then I'll tell you what he said. 2 Timothy 2 and 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." This person looked at me when the Lord first called me to preach, and he said, "I want to tell you something. The scripture says the servant of the Lord must not strive." There is a difference between warning people in the fear of the Lord, rebuking people with the spirit of love. There is a difference between that and having an axe to grind or a chip on our shoulder where we want to come in a combative attitude. I want to prove my point. I want to be right. I want to win the argument. I want to come and carry the discussion. I want to do all those things. Folks, the Lord knows the proud afar off. And when we put ourselves in there, we're going to get all the results that we don't want. And we're going to accomplish all the goals we did not set out for, because we strive. It says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Luke 6 and 37. Pray for me. "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Remember the scripture where Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, and he said, "They bind heavy burdens on men and grievous to be borne, but they themselves will not lift them with one of their fingers." Did you know the scripture says right here, "For with what measure, the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I know of very few scriptures in the Bible that give me more pause or carefulness when I read it. Because the kind of things that I want coming back to me are a product of the things that I put out. Not because of anything that I did, but that's because that's how the Lord set it up. It's part of His system of justice and mercy to our souls. Because we can see, it's not talking of, it says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. It's not talking about just some time in eternity where I believe that the Lord has rewards and punishments for us in eternity, absolutely. But there is a scale of justice and mercy and retribution that exists right here in our personal lives. I think of people that I have seen before that have a very critical attitude. And it seems like that they're always having somebody come against them and strive with them, and they're always getting offended by us. I've seen people like this before. If we want people to be merciful to us and to forgive us and to be kind and long-suffering to us, you know what the very best way to do that is? To put those things out in our lives that we will appreciate seeing coming back to us. That's the kind of thing that the Lord was instructing us to do. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. It says in another scripture, I want to balance this out. It says to judge righteous judgment. Obviously we have to make judgments. Obviously we have to condemn sin. And the Lord wants us to. The Lord wants us to love everything He loves and to hate everything that He hates. But when we go and we speculate about people and they do something, then we automatically assign a motive to them. Oh, I think they did this because of this. Sometimes we really jump the gun on those things, do we not? I've been in situations where I have done something totally different than what I was about to do just because I knew that there was a great tendency for it to look really bad. And probably all of us have done that. But I've looked at people before and thought the most awful things about them, and it turned out that they had no idea. This is an example of something I'm talking about. A friend of mine one time was in a church, and they had a church split. And some folks went this way and some went that way. And the friend of mine went and visited some of his friends that had gone in the other direction, and said that went there, and the people looked at him, and they had gotten a lot stricter, and these people over, or my friend here, had not. And so the other people looked at my friend and said, "You're not saved." And my friend said, "What do you mean I'm not saved? You're dressed like you're dressed. The Lord can't accept that." And my friend said, "Wait a minute. When you joined this church here just a few months ago, did you get rebaptized?" And they said, "No, we were already saved." My friend said, But you changed when you went. If you were saved before then, why can't I be still saved and I just don't have the same life that you do yet?" And one of them said, "You got a point." Folks, we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. It says, "With the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That lets me know that if I want people and God to be merciful to me, to give me room to grow, maybe they know things I don't, maybe I've got to measure up in some things, but it's our heart. Christianity is a religion of the heart. That doesn't mean that nothing matters on the outside and that it's all on the inside, but what's on the inside is of the utmost importance to the Lord. And we can dress up and play church and do all the outward things that we want to do, but if our heart isn't fully given to the Lord, then that's where the trouble lies. If the heart is given to the Lord will lead us to this place and that place and cause us to move up in this area and that area over here. And it says that if we want mercy shown to us, well, there's another scripture. It says, "Be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful." And then it says, forgive and ye shall be forgiven. I want to turn to Matthew 18 and the 21st verse. Quite a bit of reading here. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I think he thought he was doing pretty good. This is generous. The Jews taught that you could forgive someone three times. That you had to forgive someone three times. Then after that, you were clear in cutting him off. Seven, that's more than double. I'm doing real good here. Peter knew that Jesus was bringing something new. This is a new gospel. I'm all for it. So, all right, Jesus. So, Lord, how do I do this? If I more than double it, this should be good. I mean, seven, kind of a perfect number anyway. I'm going to set this as a goal, and maybe somebody won't ever even be able to offend me seven times, but if they do, I've got forgiveness until then. And Lord, I don't know how I could do any more than that. I mean, surely, that's just common sense, just reasonable. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, here comes this for we also again. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was loosed with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I looked this difference up one time. I don't remember what it is, but I think it was the difference between several million dollars and less than a dollar. I mean, it was quite something. So the same, let's say you owe somebody $5 million. I don't know how you could ever get in debt that far. Maybe you could crash your car into one of their skyscrapers. I don't know. But you owe them $5 million. And they say, look, you basically belong to me until you can work off the debt. I'm going to put your wife and your children to work too. You're not going to see inside of a restaurant or SeaWorld or anything like that for a long time, because you're not going to have the money for it until you pay this off. And we're looking, well, let's see, at the current hourly rate, I think your family could work this off in maybe about 60 years. I can't do that. Can't you commute it a little bit? Then it says he forgave him every dime of it. Then the same man went out, and he found someone who had done something just little. You drop that gallon of milk, I got to buy a new one. It's 93 cents. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know, it wouldn't have been right, but I mean, he could have at least said, I'll take that lamp you got sitting there on your cabinet. We'll call it square. Oh, no. You know, sometimes we can be so right, and we get an opportunity. Maybe we've got something that's been bugging us for years and years, and all of a sudden, now, now we've got an opportunity. Sometimes nobody even sees us, and sometimes, well, I don't know about you, but sometimes people try my patience when I'm driving. You ever been behind somebody real slow, or somebody that loves to go real slow until you pass them, and then they'll speed up and overtake you again, and maybe then it'll go from four lanes down to two, and you're tempted to grind your teeth? And one time somebody did that to me. So it's been several years ago. I just laid on the horn real good. Somebody cut me off, and my wife said, "Don't do that." And I said, "Why not? You're not supposed to return evil for evil." I'm not. I'm teaching them a lesson. They need to know that that's not how you do it. I'm helping them. Sometimes we can get in a position where we are right, and we have an opportunity to exact justice. And we've got it. We've got the opportunity. Maybe somebody really did something wrong. Joseph had that situation with his 10 brothers, didn't he? But he said, "The Lord." And he said, "You all meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good." Anyway, this guy, it said he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. I said a while ago that there are very few scriptures that give me more pause than the one, "Measure for with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." I'm going to give you two of them here, or the second one. It says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Is it because that's just the way the Lord wants us to do it? No, it's because we also have been forgiven so much. I think sometimes that we forget what the Lord has brought us from, what the Lord has forgiven us from. "Well, I never went out there and did that. I was never deep in sin." The Lord hates a proud look. The Lord hates a lying tongue. Have you ever told a lie? I have. No, I haven't ever gone and shoplifted. I haven't even drank. I mean, I could bring all that up. But it says that in due time, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. When while we were yet sinners, it says in Romans 5, we won't turn there, but it says, "For scarcely would for a righteous man would one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And they whipped him, and they scourged him, and they had bits of metal in their whips, and they put him upon that cross. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Or I believe that the correct meaning there is, he thought equality with God, he counted it not to be held on to, or not to, but he divested himself of that. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, We need to recognize and realize and remember the magnitude of what salvation is. Sometimes I hear people, and I'm tempted sometimes to be unmerciful to people. Well, I've got an opportunity. I'm going to stick it to them now. I'm going to write a couple more things on the board here. For we ourselves also have been forgiven. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For we also have been shown mercy. You know what mercy is? It's not the same as fairness or justice. It's when you logically put all the pieces together and this is the outcome, but you do something different. He did this, so I owe this. But that's not what I'm going to do. Lord, so you can say, well, Jesus could do that. But I'm not Jesus. What about Stephen? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, as the rocks were raining down upon his head. You know why he said that? Because he had been forgiven too. How could any one of us forget what God has done for us? Did you know there's nothing that we've got on hand that could ever possibly get us into heaven? There's nothing that we've got on hand that we're not strong enough to control ourselves even in this life without the power of God? I want to go to one more scripture. Galatians 6 and 1. I had an experience one time. Many years ago. I thought I was so right about something. I came against someone. I came against several people all at the same time. Because I thought that they were wrong and I was right. And I had this reason and that reason. And I caused a big stir. And I made a lot of trouble. And then we had a meeting with them. I had a meeting with them. And as they began to lay out their side of it, I realized that I was absolutely... Actually, I realized it before they even got there. But I realized... My goose was cooked. I was definitely the one in the wrong, all the way. Maybe I had some valid points, but I was the one in the wrong. Thankfully, these people were Christians. They had the opportunity. There were factors in play where they could have crushed me so badly. There were things that they had right there in their hand that could have caused me so much trouble. That could have, and they could have walked away and said this was only fair. There were things that they could have done that nobody could have ever charged them with doing wrong if they would have done it. And they walked away. I said, I'm so sorry. And I apologized as much as I could. It did not undo the damage that I had done. And nobody would have blamed them if they would have done some other things. They didn't do any of it. They walked away and left it all on the table. I have never forgotten it. It's been something that I was amazed at. Folks, we need the power of Jesus Christ in our lives to be able to do the same thing because he did that for us. He forgave us all that debt, as the scripture says. May we never forget and think that the Lord didn't really forgive us of a whole lot. We were worthy to die. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is something that I would challenge us to remember. You know, you and I could be tempted too. We're not above temptation. We don't ever get so spiritual where we can look down our nose at somebody and say, they were tempted with that. I'm going to write two more things on the board here before I finish. Running out of room. I'll write, can fail, and can be tempted. You mean to tell me you did what? Christians don't do that. I want us to understand this morning, I'm not preaching a sin you must doctrine at all. But there are times where I have fallen flat on my face and begged the Lord to forgive me, and I needed people that were kind and merciful, that could help me and help me to pick myself back up and keep on going and be restored. I've had times where I have needed much healing. And I thank God for the people that had unlimited patience with me to come and talk to me in the middle of the night. Oh, I don't have time for that. Why don't they get... God can give them grace. Just let them... If they don't measure up, Folks, we have a part to play in other people's spiritual progression and experience this morning. We have... Every one of us are ministers of the gospel in some form or fashion. What are we doing to help heal, restore, forgive, mend? There are breaches in congregations. There are breaches at a family level, at a community level, at a national level, at a world level. There are things that people all over the world need healing. And it says to go about the restoration process with meekness, because it could have been us. Because it probably was us at some point of time. And we don't remember the things, the mercy that other people showed to us. May God help us today. Jesus leads us like a shepherd. If He's going to lead like a shepherd, we can't drive with a rod. You all pray for me.